Chapter 8. Last night, when we stopped to rest on the last part of our journey from Hebron to Jerusalem, my soldier, Romilius, took me outside his tent under the stars. He is fierce, brave, bold, and fills me full of divine fire. For him I would willingly give my soul, even today when I can feel the pain and the bruising on my rump, where he ploughed me against the hard earth and stones. I wish he would claim me only for himself. I will try to lead him, but in the meantime I shall do his bidding. Once again Charlie found himself slightly shocked that a woman, a couple of thousand years ago, could have expressed joy and pleasure in sex. He realized that he was giving himself a wry, silent smile in his mind, hearing Father Gregory's voice saying, "Yes, Charlie, for you sex was invented in the 1960s, wasn't it? Before then nobody really enjoyed it, you guilt-ridden old devil, you. Like the poet said, it was invented just before the Beatles' first LP." After the loving, he talked to me for many hours, telling me what extra services he wished me to perform once we get to Jerusalem. I now know it has to do with the man Jesus, who is from Nazareth, and who is certainly a prophet and holy person. Already many are saying that he is also a worker of miracles. A man called John caused much stir in his day by cleansing people, baptizing them, giving them a ritual washing in the river. This John hailed Jesus as the Messiah, the one our prophets say will come to free us from the shackles of the Roman invaders, and the one who will lead our people into peace and everlasting life. I cannot know of all these things, for I am a woman without learning and the other skills given only to the rich and powerful. Yet I am gaining knowledge from Romilius. He has told me of the fears that beset the emperor and his military leaders in Rome. In many parts of the empire there are uprisings or plots against the Romans. It is important for the leaders, the officers and members of the governor's household, to be aware of what goes on. Now I am given a place of great trust, for Romilius is charging me to bring him whatever I can discover from both Jesus and those who follow him. He explained to me that they must all be forewarned of any plans to either hinder or harm the Roman presence here. More, I am to be given gold and silver to do this, and I shall try to be worthy of the trust that is placed in me. We came into Jerusalem this afternoon, and Romilius told me that today was the day the Romans do honour to their goddess Venus. Tonight for us it is Sabbath, and I am doing all I can to keep to the law, though this is not easy for me. To be in this city is wonderful, and I cannot wait to go out into the streets after Sabbath is over. The house is much larger than I expected, very clean, and in a narrow street near the temple, which I have yet to see properly. There are rooms for all three of us, another at the back for preparing food, and a large space above, enough to accommodate many people. The entrance hall is decorated in a lavish manner, and after the Roman custom. Romilius explained that he might have to use this house as a safe place to keep people in danger, or those whose faces he wishes to hide from the public. After all, it is paid for out of military funds. As we came into the city, we saw some great and lovely villas with gardens full of colour, beautiful trees and pools of water, around which we could see men and women in the gardens being given food and drink by servants. I would think myself lucky to be just a servant in a house like that. Azeb appears to be a nice, quiet girl, short, but with a fine body, though it is possible that she has a willful side to her, for she showed some anger on being sent by me to buy food. She made it plain that she did not wish to go. I dared not go myself, as it was almost Sabbath. I know what my fellow men and women can be like when it comes to whores like me. I sometimes think the people in my profession frighten my fellow Jews. When Azeb returned, I found her surly, and it was necessary for me to show her that I am the mistress here. I slapped and beat her hard with the palm of my hand, and she did not try to resist when she perceived that I was much stronger than she was. She cried out in pain and shouted for me to stop, but I knew I should not show mercy. She wept pitifully, but I threw her onto her bed, where I commanded her to stay. She turned onto her face and sobbed when I left. My hand really stung from the beating I gave her, so I tremble to think what her rump is like. Bruised, I should think. She'll soon learn. I shall ask Romilius to get me a thin rod, so that my hand will not be hurt next time. Oh, how she howled! I hope she learns her lesson soon, for I dislike having to punish her. But you should not show mercy to these kind of people. Romilius returns shortly before the start of Sabbath, and he tells me that nobody will come here tonight, but he is sending a man to me after Sabbath is over, tomorrow at dusk. This man is an officer of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council set up at the command of the Romans. He is also a steward to Caiaphas, the high priest. My lord told me that it would be an honour for me to serve him. I replied that I have all the honour I require by serving my lord, and I thought he would strike me in anger. He bade me watch my tongue. Then he told me that I should be ready to leave Jerusalem in 2 days' time. Word has reached him that the man Jesus is to be at a wedding in Cana, near the Sea of Galilee. Romilius says that this will be the best time for me to draw close to the Nazarene. Last night, after I'd gone to my bed, the girl Azeb came to me and lay down beside me. She showed that she was ashamed at the way she had behaved, and she came to me in the only manner she knew. For her young age, she's very experienced and has been taught well. Strange, but I find that being with a woman is sometimes more pleasant than being with a man. We awoke this morning, entwined with one another. Her kisses were delightful on my mouth, and wherever else she gave them, using her tongue to great purpose. Oh, she has been well taught. To my lord, who will read this, I say that you should not be angry with me, but if you are, then that will be punishment enough. The high priest's officer Thomas came to me after Sabbath ended. He is a scrawny, unpleasant man, who tells me that his wife refuses to take him to her bed, for he has impregnated her no less than 6 times. Of the children, only 3 have survived. He has evil-smelling breath, and his hands never stop moving. He became aroused quickly and seemed very proud of himself, spending as much time fondling himself as he did me. He took me 2 times in a short time, but I was able to think of other things while he brought himself off. There is no thought in these men of giving me gratification, though it is different with Romilius. I am excited by the thought of what I must do for the Roman Empire. If I do well, I shall ask Romilius if I can become a Roman citizen. Perhaps he will even take me to Rome when he goes back. Last night, Azeb came to my bed once more, and we kissed and held each other. I thought much on Romilius and my plans for the future. Late in the night, Azeb sang to me. She told me it was a song her people used to soothe babies into sleep. She has a pleasing voice, though I cannot understand the words in her tongue. We're trying to make up signs with our hands and arms so that we can understand one another more easily. I did not sleep soundly, as I'm excited about what will happen in Cana. My lord Romilius came early to the house and spent time with me, telling me what I must do. There's been much commotion, for men known to the Romans as the Sicarii tried to kill the governor Pontius Pilate, only the plot was discovered before they could carry out the plan. Everyone lives in fear of these men who kill using daggers. They cause terror among people living in towns and cities. It appears it was Romilius who received the news of the plot and went with soldiers to the house where these criminals were gathered, together with a woman. There was a fight, and one of Romilius's soldiers was wounded, while one of these lawbreakers died. This woman had a supply of oils and unguents to make her skin smooth and sweet-smelling. So Romilius brought to me a sealed alabaster jar of thick oil, perfumed with the root of spikenard, that is expensive. But he took it from the house where they'd found these villains. Now he's thought of a clever scheme for me to use the oil when I see the man Jesus. I leave for Cana in 1 hour, with 2 men who are to escort me. They are soldiers who are under Romilius's command, and who do not wear a uniform, but present themselves as ordinary citizens.